The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you, ladies, for that. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to 1 Samuel 30. And I cannot claim originality, if I may say, for this message. Many years ago, I was sitting underneath an evangelist by the name of Dr. Jim Brown. Brother Brown, of course, became a dear friend of mine later on as he moved his membership to Central Baptist Church in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. But prior to him doing that, I was sitting in a meeting and he preached this particular message. And at that time in my life, I really needed this message. It was a time where I was just struggling about some things and I really needed some encouragement. And I thought, well, what a day to be able to preach this on than the fifth year of me being pastor at Parkside Baptist Church into a Sunday morning crowd. Because no doubt there has been times in your life where you have faced discouragement. I will tell you, I did preach this message back in 2012. I will tell you that if the internet was up and presently running, you would be able to go to the internet and listen to it. But right now we're having some difficulty with our internet and this won't be on there for a while. And so therefore, please stay for the message. Okay? I want you to understand some things here about encouragement. I believe that God has some great things to be able to teach us. I never will forget when I heard Dr. Brown get up. Of course, Brother Brown went home to be with the Lord about a year and a half ago now. He was hunting up in the rolling hills of Pennsylvania, and he's out there chasing a deer, or maybe the deer was chasing him. I'm not really sure. And he dropped dead of a heart attack out there in the hunting field. And so he's in heaven today. But sometimes it's just one message that'll change your life. Sometimes it's one man of God that God brings across your path, you know, that will preach a message. And maybe some of those dear men of God are gone today, but the messages they preached lived on. And I know this one has lived on in my heart for many, many years. And many times if I know of a church that needs an extra sort of like a protein shot, I'll pull this out. I don't think this morning there's a need for that. I don't see any distressful people here. And so if you are distressed, please don't raise your hand in an admittedly possible fashion to say, I need this. But I do believe it would be good for all of us to revisit this. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 3, the Bible says, and David and his men came to the city. It says, and behold, it was burned with fire, and the wives and the sons and their daughters, their wives, their sons, and their daughters were taken captive. The Bible talks about in verse 4 how David and the people, the Bible says, that were with him, lifted up their voices and wept until there was no more power to weep. And I've been with people at funeral homes, by the way, that have lost their loved ones. And most of the time when this takes place, it is something that is a quick death. It's something that's a shock. And all of a sudden, you know, you're at a funeral home and it might be somebody that's saved or might even be somebody that's lost that's laying in the casket. And there's horrific tears and horrific cries of somebody because of the fact that they lost that dear one and it was such a quick incident that shock has now set in. Well, I believe that when they came back, really, they were expecting to see their children. They were expecting to see their wives. And when they came back to the city after they had fought the battle, it was a shock. So much so that these people cried, and with all their power, they wept. So there's no more power to weep in them. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, when all of a sudden something happens horrifically in your life. Something happens of great magnitude in your life, and maybe it breaks you down to the point, to the place of tears, and you're just weeping, and almost to the point that you're so empty on the inside that there is no more power to weep inside of you. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 5 that David's two wives also were taken captive. Verse 6, as David's returning here, of course, to the city, the Bible says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David, and this is so neat, but David encouraged himself It says, in the Lord his God. When I heard Dr. Brown preach this message many years ago, and I was going through a very disappointing time in my life, and when I sat there and I heard him preach this message, I thought, boy, I tell you what, I'm going to write that out. I met with him later and I said, you know, I take good notes most of the time, but I don't want to miss a lick on this one. And so give me your outline. And so I wrote it out, and then I was able to get his outline, and I said, do you mind, Doc, if I preach that around the country from time to time? And he said, no, Brother Wells, do whatever you want to do with that. I just want to be a help. And so I want you to think about this morning as I preach on how to encourage yourself. How to encourage yourself. Now, this is an old truth. I told you I preached this back in 2012, and to be honest with you, I would preach this around the country. And so this is not something that, boy, I was meeting with God late last night and God has given me something fresh, though I do believe that all truth is fresh. And I do believe if you allow the truth of the Word of God, just like when you read your Bible through, whether you read it through one time a year, two times a year, or five times a year, when you read verses, sometimes those verses are just meaningful and helpful. Now, let's notice some things about David here. David remembered his past victories. How is it that he overcame the distress? How is it that he overcame the grief? How is it that he overcame the disappointing things? How is it that he overcame, if you would please, the things that was hitting him broadside, the shock that he's now facing in his life that he just did not know how to face? And we'll see that right here. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34, the Bible says it, and David said unto Saul, it says, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took, it says, a lamb out of the flock. Now watch what it says in verse 35, and I went out after him. So he went out after the lion, he went out after the bear. The Bible says, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth, and when he arose up against me, I caught him, it says, by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Now look down at verse 36, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 36. The Bible says, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defiled the armies of the living God. Now, this is not where David is right now. David is not facing the giant. David is not facing Goliath. He is facing another distressful time in his life. He is returning to the city of Ziklag. No doubt they expected to see the children playing in the street. No doubt they expected to see the children and hear the joyful sounds of the children as they played in the backyard. No doubt as they got closer, they expected, of course, their wives to run out and in an embracing fashion wrap their arms around their husbands and give them kisses and hugs of welcome. But none of this is happening. Okay, David finds himself in a very distressful, a very disheartening type of place in his life. And even the men that was beside him, the Bible says, spake of stoning him. And so they're also in distress. And now, by the way, these men worked with David. These men fought beside David. These men were close to David. These men won battle after battle beside David, their leader, but yet they were so distressed and they were so dismayed and they were so caught off guard that they thought of even stoning David that was leading them. And so what did David do during that time of distress? Well, statement number one, David remembered his past victories. David's remembering the time that he killed the lion. He's remembering the time that he killed the bear. He's remembering the time that he killed that giant in his life. And may I say, if God has ever answered a prayer in your life, that is the same God that can still answer a prayer today. He says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. The same God that gave you peace, the same God that gave you happiness, the same God that gave you, if you would please, leadership in your life, when you were going through other distressful times in your life, when you face a distressful time in your life during this very hour, then that is the same God that will never leave thee, that will never forsake thee. He is that true friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And can I tell you for sure, as we remember those past victories, remember the time when you did pray and God answered your prayer. Remember the time when you did have a happy marriage and what it took to be able to have have that happy marriage. Remember the time of training your child in the way that they should go, and they grabbed a hold of a truth, and that truth they embellished in their heart, and they went forward to be able to accomplish that truth. Remember the time when you came to church and the man of God got up and preached, and it was so good that you actually listened on purpose. Remember the time when all of a sudden a Sunday school teacher got up to teach and they taught you a truth that just went deep down into the crevices of your heart, and you meditated on that and you thought about that and it changed your life. Remember the time that you went to the youth camp as a teenager and when your heart was tender and when it was pliable and how God felt so ever near and close to you. Remember the time when you first went out soul winning and you took a New Testament or you took a gospel tract and you stopped beside someone and you sat down beside them and you talked to them and they bowed their heart and they received Christ as Savior. Remember the time when you first started to tithe and give offerings, and all of a sudden, God opened the windows of heaven in your life, and God began to bless you in a financial fashion that you had never witnessed before in your individual life. Remember those times when all of a sudden you developed a friendship and somebody became your close Christian friend, and they were there beside you when the times of distress did come in your life. Remember all those good times, and can I tell you, the same God that gave you those good times and times gone by is the same God that can give you those good times today. So here's what we understand. David remembered his past victories. How did he make it through the distressful time? How did he make it through this dreadful day? How did he make it through when all of a sudden it seemed like that his life was corroding and drawing in closer and collapsing upon him? He remembered his past victories. Statement number one. Statement number two. David remembered a time when he stepped out by faith. Now there is nothing like trusting God. Nothing. Whether it's trusting God for an answer to prayer, whether it is trusting God as you pray about a loved one, drawing nearer to the heart of God, whether it is praying about something that you have as a need in your life and God answers prayer, whether it is praying that God gives you wisdom as to know what to do and God sheds light on a direction that you should take, can I tell you, there is nothing like God answering prayer. But wait a minute. Do we understand here that David could not operate in the realm of somebody else's faith? You might have a child that's greatly disappointed you, and they have gotten away from their faith of trusting God. Can I tell you, you don't need to become so dismayed over that that you lay down yourself and become so discouraged that you become somebody that cannot functionally operate in the realm of faith that God has given you. We have to decide that we ourselves will please God. Watch this in verse chapter 17, 1 Samuel, in verse 37. The Bible says, and David said, moreover, it says, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. All right? So here David is just a younger guy than Saul, not had the experience of Saul in battle. Saul is head and shoulders, he's the king, head and shoulders in his stature above any other person that is in the kingdom. And yet, here he's looking at this young man, and David is moved inside of his heart to step out, to obey God, and he looks back, and he sees, and he remembers when God challenged his heart, and he stepped out, and he took care of the lion, and he took care of the bear, and at that time, God is using those things, not just incidental things. To face a lion is a big thing. To face a bear is a big thing. But now he's facing even a bigger thing. Now I want you to understand this. And David is standing alone as he faces that 9 foot tall or thereabout type of individual that's called Goliath. And as he faces him, he remembers smaller victories, though big, but smaller victories, as he faced a bigger giant in his life. Now, can I tell you, if you give up and you quit when you face the smaller trials in your life, you're going to have more difficulties passing the test when you face the bigger trials in your life. If you want to give up on your marriage and walk out because you have a fuss and a fight, what are you going to do when the fuss and fight turns into throwing pans and knives? If you want to give up on your child when they did something dumb, stupid, beyond reason, what are you going to do when they outwardly, wholly rebel? If you're going to give up because all of a sudden the weather is not nice outside, what are you going to do if Texas, as we did when we first moved here in this area, gets hit with a snowstorm and the roads are ice? By the way, let me say something. Aren't you glad you live here right now? I am following the weather of the Northeast. Woo! I am glad I live in Texas. My friends are shoveling snow, and it's like 10 below zero, and it's 70 degrees, and I call them up and just say, thinking of you. Hey, I'm saying this. I'm saying that here in the Bible, here's what we understand. Here he is at a time of distress in his life. He is facing something that he did not plan for. It hit him broadside. It was not a calendarized event. And most of the time, when you go through shocking events in your life, you do not even want them to come. And David now is facing this in his life. How did he make it through? He remembered. Hey, remember when church was good? Remember when God did answer prayer? Remember when God did come through? Remember the goodness of God and the warm feeling of the Holy Ghost as God began to rest upon you and show you a truth that you did not see other than God himself showing it to you. I'm saying this morning, listen to me. God is good. David remembered his past victories. David remembered a time when he stepped out by faith. Now watch this. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look at verse 38. The Bible says, and Saul armed David with his armor. It says, and put an helmet of brass upon his head. And he armed him with a coat of mail. Look at verse 39. And David girded his sword upon his armor. He assailed to go. He made ready to go. He assailed to go. The Bible says, he had not proved. So he assailed to go. He was getting ready to go. Then all of a sudden, there's something that stops him. What stops him? The Bible says, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I, listen to it now, have not proved them. And David put them off of him. Now, thank God for those that have a greater faith than you. But you cannot walk in their greater faith. Thank God for those that say, I got this victory, and I got this victory, and ho, I got this victory. Hey, thank God for that. But don't you think you need some personal victories? Don't you think you need to see God come through for you? Don't you think that you ought to get so close to God that you can have a testimony of God answered my prayer? God is the one that has showed me this. See, you cannot wear somebody else's armor. You cannot put on somebody else's faith. But God does show us the armor you can put on. Over, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. The Bible says to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take on to you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. It says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. He says, I'm showing you how you can stand. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, capital S, talking about Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God. You said, but preacher, you understand, I'm having a hard time. Then armor up. I didn't say armor all. Armor up. It's going to take more than just a squirt. Armor up. How do you armor up? You gird yourself. You put on. You take the things that God says will strengthen you and will help you and will be able to fortify you and to be able to go forward. I'm saying this, you cannot operate in the realm of somebody else's faith. I'd hear Brother Roloff preach and I'd say, wow, I want to do that. But I could not operate in his realm of faith. I'd hear Dr. Robertson preach and other great men of God, and I could not operate in their realm of faith. And by the way, it is not right for you to pass judgment on somebody else because they do not operate in your realm of faith. See, we all have that, if I can call it a journey, if I can call it a path, if I can call it a direction, but we all have that way of following the Lord, where God intricately and personally teaches us. And he will teach you things that your husband may not understand. He'll teach you things that your wife may not understand. He'll teach you things that your children understand. You know why? Because God is trying to grow you up. You say, well, he's growing my husband. Great! What about you? He's growing my wife. Super! What about you? See, God wants us to be able to grow up in the Lord ourselves. If your husband is your strength and only your strength, what are you going to do when he dies? If your wife is your strength and she's the only strength, not being mean, what are you going to do when she dies? Are you listening to me? If your grand, I'm saying, you take any personality or person you want to and put them in that slot. Can I tell you, there needs to come a time when we get along with God and let God build that faith. How do we do that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, talk to me, hearing by the word of God. So as I hear that word of God, you know what it does? It builds my faith. Now, neighbor, I'm telling you, that's why church is important. You say, well, a person says, well, I'll tell you what, I'll read the Bible on my own. That's what I'll do. I'll read the Bible on my own. Great. How's it going for you? I will study the crevices of the Word of God. Great. How's your study coming? Now, I'm not being mean. I'm just being plain. Now, to some people, that's mean, but I'm being plain. Most people do not. Look, I know where we live. We live in the continental U.S. of A. There's only one nation that I know reportedly that has a busier lifestyle than USA, and that's Japan. That's the only nation I know reportedly that has a busier lifestyle. Now, can I tell you, pressure, dear friend, is on. Our society places something over you that they expect you to rise to. You like it, you don't like it, it's true. You have to work to pay your rent, your mortgage. Nobody gives you a free house. Hello? You have to work to eat. You say, well, I think all that's wrong. Well, that's only because you don't have character. Working is good. Oh, I need more than that. Working is good. It makes us into that person that we ought to be.
Now, I'm going to tell you this, however, we live in such a society that the pressure's on. You need God. You need as much of God as you can get. And that's why I say, hey, church is important. Why? You decide how big your faith is going to be in accordance, many times more than not, as to how faithful you are at church. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now, tonight, Super Bowl Sunday! But we got preaching. Amen. Wednesday night, we're tired. We're weary. It's hard. But we're still going to have preaching. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we're not going to decide one day under my administration that we're not going to have Sunday night or Wednesday night church. Why? Because we need as much of the Word of God as we can get. Hey, we ought to be here every time the door is open. Why? Because that's where God is going to land and build your faith through that Word of God. That faith will grow and it'll help you. Your prayer life will get better. Your relationships will get better. And watch this, okay? So David stepped out by faith. David, statement number three, he used what he had. Look at it. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40. The Bible says, and he took, it says, his staff and his hand, and he chose five smooth stones. One Bible scholar said this, the reason he chose five is because Goliath had four brothers. So he went well prepared into the battle. Here's what the Bible does teach, however. The Bible does teach, it says that he took, it says his staff in his hand, and he chose five smooth stones, says out of the brook, and he put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, already had it. It says even in a scrip, and the sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. He didn't run from him. Preacher, what do I do if I have a giant in my life? Move towards it. Don't run from it. Well, I've got perilous times. You know, what am I going to do? Move towards it. Don't flee from it. You never get victory while on the run. So David used what he had. It's amazing how Elijah faced those that were the false prophets there at Mount Carmel, and he prayed only 63 words that changed the entire outcome. Can I tell you, sometimes just getting alone with God makes the difference. So how is it that we can overcome these sad times, these bad times? What can we do to encourage ourselves? David remembered his past victories. David stepped out by faith. David used what he had. Listen, I'm almost done. David went in God's power, not his own. He went in God's power, not his own. Look at it in verse 45. We're in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. The Bible says, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. He says, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Now watch what else he says in verse 46. He said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thine head from thee, and I will deliver, it says, the carcasses. It says, watch what it says. I will deliver the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He said, I'm not doing this to become somebody. He said, I'm doing this to show you God is alive. Amen. By the way, is there somebody in your house that needs to realize that God is alive? Amen. Is there somebody in your neighborhood that needs to realize that God is alive? Is there somebody in your school, public school, young person that needs to realize that God is alive? All right, what do? Here's what you do. You be that individual that will come and you go in God's power. You ask God to work in your, that's why I said, more than ever before in our society, when it seems like that there's an anti-Christ type of movement, even throughout our federal government, you need to bring up the name of God and the name of Christ as much as you can in a public fashion. Don't be ashamed of him. Make it a part of your everyday vocabulary. When you go to the grocery store and you get up to the cash register, just testify a little bit and say, I just want you to know God is good. I thank God I've got the money to buy this. Point them to God. Point them to God. I mean, get that as a part of your vocabulary. Why? Because as the world tries to take that away from those of us that are Christians, those of us that are saved, those of us that's been born again, put it back in. Somebody said, Happy Holidays, we're on to Christmas time. I said, no, you got it wrong. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I was in line one where someplace, and this one woman, she said, Happy Holidays. I said, no, Merry Christmas. Try it. Try and say it. Feels good. So what are you trying to do? I'm trying to keep Christ in our nation. You do your part in your little corner. I do my part in my little corner. We all have little corners that come together. It makes a whole. All right, now watch. I'm saying this. Watch this. So he went in God's power. Look at verse 46. The Bible says that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So not only did he go in God's power, but he gave God the glory. He gave God the glory. When God does something, thank him for it. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Statement number next, and I'm done. He kept something to remind him of that victory. He kept something. I got a trophy. Well, I had several trophies, but I've got one that I have kept. I think I got it in 1967. I was 6 years old back then, and my grandmother took me to a fishing expedition, and it was in this huge lake. Now, don't be too impressed, it was stocked. But I went to this fishing expedition, and I had my little reel, and I had my bait, and I had and I cast, and I caught the largest fish on that day, and they gave me it. Now the trophy's in poor shape. I've got it in that old wooden box. My grandfather fought in World War II, and he had an old army box that was, you know, the type that came down, had the ammo in it, that was parachuted out, and it would land, and they'd take it open, and they'd get the ammo out. Well, I kept that ever since he gave that to me. And inside of that old wooden box, you know, I've got these things that are just kind of like special to me. Yes. Now, can I say that you ought to keep some things in your spiritual box that is special to you? Keep some things that you can remember. Keep some photographs. Keep some prayer journals. Keep some daily log. Keep some memories. Remember those things. Your wife, the love letters that she wrote you, the love letters that your husband wrote you, the special cards. And from time to time, my daughter, Rebecca, will write me a letter, and she'll mail it, and so it goes from our house through the post office back to our house, and I'll get that letter, and Sylvia will make sure I get that letter, and I'll open that letter up, and it's all about, Dad, I love you, greatest dad in the world. Wouldn't take nothing for you, da 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 da. Nothing but just uplifting, good, wholesome words. Now, can I tell you that when my family writes those letters, my wife has written me several, my boys have written me several, when my family writes those letters, I keep those letters. I don't throw them away. Matter of fact, if you were to go in my office, please don't, it's messy right now, but if you were to go into my office, you would sit down in my chair, you pull out that bottom file cabinet, or the bottom drawer to the left, every letter that comes in from friends, from preachers, or family, I put in those files. I file them. You can go back years. You can go back because I keep files every year. You can go back years and years and years and be able to see all the letters that's come in from family, all the letters that's come in from friends, all the letters that's come in from preachers for years gone back. All right, now wait a minute. I also do think when I mail out a letter, I make a copy of every letter that goes out. I have a secretary make a copy of it, and I file every letter that I send out. And I've been doing that for a long time. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. If I ever get poochy lip disease, if I ever get down or sad, I can pull out all those love letters that my wife has written to me. Hello. I can take and pull out all those letters that those boys have written to me. Daughter-in-laws have written to me. I can pull out all those different letters. I can look at them and I can feel good that somebody cared. Hello? You know what David is doing right here? Look at it. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 54. The Bible says, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. And he put his armor in his tent. Now, first he took the head. Shows instant victory. So here he was. He took, of course, you know the story. He took the sword of Goliath, and he got, no doubt, standing up there on his chest, and he took that sword, and he weaved it down, and he took off the head of Goliath. Now, the head of Goliath is not a small head. The head of Goliath, being a man that was at least 9 foot tall, was no doubt kind of a big head. The Bible says that he took that head of Goliath. Can you imagine David walking through the city of Ziklag? Can you imagine, if you would please, him thinking about the time that he walked through another city, years gone by prior to that, and he had that which was the head of Goliath. Now as he walks through the city of Ziklag, there is no head. The head, no doubt, had rotten. Years had gone by, but there was something. The Bible says that there in his tent, he had kept something to remind him of that victory, and that was the armor of Goliath. You know, you need to keep something with you all the years of your life and just remember what God did. I still have my first Bible that the Lord gave me. It's so ragged and torn. Leather, can I tell you? Leather hardens. In case anybody wants to know. And then it cracks with age. And man, the binder on that thing is all cracked and as hard as a rock. But I can open those pages and look back to the very day that I got saved. Hey, I'm saying, remember some things. You say, well, things aren't going good in my life right now, preacher. Look back. See God's goodness. Let that carry you one more day. You can make it through if you just look back and say, hey, we've got a good God, and He is the Lord God, and He does not change. God can use that as a testament to your heart to be able to make it just one more day.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.